now time for a very Brobot edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass into your friends, and which games to just find your Brobot and just, you know, hop that little car on by. Is that a car? What do you call it? It's a little hovercraft thing. The loading screen. I'm talking about the loading screen. You know what I'm talking about?
It's just a creepy van.
No, but it hovers, doesn't it? It doesn't have wheels. Am I misremembering that?
It does hover. You're right.
Yeah. So it's like in Mega Man X when they hovered. Do they hover in Mega Man? I don't know. I am Corey. I am joined by the best Brobot a bro could ask for, Basher.
Oh, how sweet.
It is 2020. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was about to say how sweet after I, and the reason we have been late for the last 3 weeks.
No, we don't. They don't have to say anything. They don't know.
Yeah, they do. They can feel it in their bones.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
But can you move?
No, don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. We're here to talk about RoboQuest in our first episode of 2024. But before that, did you know that you can rate us on iTunes? If you're listening to this right now, iTunes is like the go-to for podcasts ratings.
And you know what? I'm so surprised by that. Like, nothing beat iTunes yet.
What I'm more surprised is, like, there's no, like, real way on Spotify to, like, rate.
This is true, too.
And that tells me that, like, it probably doesn't mean much, or it's just, like, Apple has such a hold on that of, like, you know, of categorizing or whatever, of fighting that algorithm, that Spotify is like, you know, we don't need it. But am I crazy that Spotify's UI has always been trash?
It's always been basic. I mean, like, I don't know if it's true. Well, know what? It is trash on anything other than my Android device. See, like, yeah, my Android device is just fine half the time, but anything else is absolutely trash. I agree with that.
Like, and Apple Music's not that much better in terms of UI, but like, I don't know. iTunes, go rate us, please, for the love of God. We're here to talk about RoboQuest. Here are the details for this one. Developed by Rise Up Studios, RoboQuest is a fast-paced FPS with roguelike mechanics playable in single-player or two-player co-op. Shoot and run your way through randomly generated environments, pick up upgrades along the way, and blast the powerful big bad bosses you encounter. Upgrade your base camp and unlock persistent upgrades to customize your playstyle and dive further on each subsequent run. That's it. That's the whole description. Playable on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Does have crossplay. I was playing on PC, and Mr. Basher over there, I said that like you're a teacher, was playing on Xbox, and it worked totally fine. He didn't even know I was on PC. I was running at like 8,000 frames, and he had no clue. Well, does have HD.
I did figure it out when I switched to PC at one point and realized how fast those loading screens were. Like, I was really slowing down there.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it? It's like, even with those SSDs, but who knows? Does have HDR10 support as well as smart delivery. Let's see here. We've got a how long to beat of a main story of 7 hours. That's not true. Main and extra 17 hours. Completionist of 49 and all styles of 12. So I actually did play this on Series X and S, and I can say that it runs pretty well on both of them. Did not run into any issues on either one. Honestly, I couldn't really tell a difference. You know, that sometimes there's a huge difference in picture quality, and the Series S looks like the textures weren't as smooth or as detailed, but the frame rate, it was 60 across the board and had no issues there. So PC port's pretty good too. So RoboQuest, let's talk about it.
Well, that description was a bit suspect. I mean, like, I have some issues there, right? with a few of the things. Like, that's the thing, like, not a lot there, and I still like disagree with most of it, I think. First of all, that the time to complete is just on any level, it's just all the way inaccurate. And did you notice that each run had a randomized map? Because I didn't think they were randomized too much.
So that's a big question. It seems like parts of them are randomized. Like the so I guess to paint the picture a little bit, it's a first person shooter, but there's
when but you're start, robots and your bros.
Yeah, but you're your Brobots. It's got the base, it's got everything that you would think is in a modern roguelike, but when you start the level, let's say, I don't remember what they're all called, but they all have like a Ruins or a Borderlands aesthetic to it. We'll call the first place Ruins. I don't remember if that's what, I think it's Canyon actually.
Oasis, Canyon.
Yeah, I think Canyon was the first one. So when you're going through it, you get those like little side rooms, basically, like the purple walls sort of indicate like, hey, there's an upgrade path over here. Those seem randomly generated. Those little rooms do. But the actual layout, no, did not seem randomly generated to me. So part of it's randomly generated. I don't know on that one. So shoot and run your way through randomly generated environments. That's what it says. Yeah, I don't. Did we miss something?
I mean, no. Just by the description, like, it's not like a huge beef, but like by the description, it made me think. Like, was I playing? Did I not notice I was doing something, playing a random map every time, because it didn't feel that way? But I mean, that aside, I mean, it's just like you said. It's a, when it comes to the shooting aspects of it, it is a standard shooter with some added uniqueness to it that I wanted to like so much more, because for some reason there's a big emphasis on jumping on the enemy's head like Mario. And when
that was a weird one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's weird, but I wanted to like it though, because when we first started playing, I was just bonking on people's heads the whole time. Like, thinking like, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you have the funds and stuff. And it's like, when you do that, you lose. when you die a lot. Like, it seems counterintuitive. If you want to win, don't do what the game is teaching you to do.
Right. Well, and it's, so this comes back to the question that I had, like when we were playing it, of, I'm going to say the thing, I'm going to say the Hades word. I'm going to say Hades and say, I meant to say the H word, but instead I said the whole word. You know, I think the reason that Hades hit the way it did was because every run felt possible, you know,
right.
Like no matter what you did, every run felt like, as long as I was good enough, I could get through this kind of thing.
Even our first run, you had like a vision like, oh, I could beat this.
Yeah. And it's, so in my opinion, and I think a lot of people would agree, that is the hallmark of a good roguelite. And not a lot of them get that. And that doesn't mean they're a bad game necessarily, but the ones that stand out to me are the ones that the game is just so tightly, you know, it's so well crafted that, and play tested, I guess would be the other part of it, is that I always have a chance. And so the jumping on the head thing was, I was like, what am I missing here? Like, because it tells me I can do this thing. And so like one of the, I think one of the classes even has like a little bit of an emphasis on jumping on their head. And so I was just like, man, there's got to be something that I'm missing here. And no, like I legitimately tried to be like, okay, I'm going to try to play this by being Mario. And there's even like a secret item you can get, which is a shovel that basically you become Shovel Knight. But for me, the biggest thing is that there's no real good indication of when I'm hitting them and when I'm not, or if they're dead, you know, and that's,
oh yeah, that's the worst part too. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And that became like the problem of just like, you know what, like, I know this is a thing. And there were times where I was just like, okay, like I need to get across this area for whatever reason. And I will remember that I can bounce on their heads. And to me, it seems like it's more of an indication or a mechanic that, that is there to, for traversal, but not really for fighting or hit it, you know, if that makes sense, which is strange. Again, it's not bad, but it just doesn't, it makes it seem like it's an emphasis and it doesn't really need to be.
Yeah. In a game where there's so much good stuff in it, that's just one of the, honestly, many things where I'm just like, this is just undercooked, because,
right.
Because you touched on the fact that there's little bonuses in that you can get by jumping on the enemy's heads. There's full upgrade paths you can go down. Like there's different, like you said, there's different items, there's different perks, there's different like upgrades you can get in via, like during a run. It says if you kill an enemy, now jumping on their head, you get this bonus. If you jump on their head during this thing, you get this bonus. So you can go all in on it, and it still is the least effective way to play the game.
Yeah, for me, yeah. It's on that topic of effectiveness is where I want to preface this by saying I like this game quite a bit. I had a lot of fun with this game, and not to like a surprising degree, but the more I played it, it went from, yo, I'm having a great time to like, okay, this is pretty good. Like it definitely right. went down as we got farther, but I still had a lot of fun with it. But on that topic of, but continue.
No, I mean, you're exactly right, because I reached a peak fun factor there early on. And I think that's because more and more features of the game became like that jumping aspect. My favorite class was the first one you unlocked, and its biggest emphasis is on elemental kills and your, your other, I guess, mini robot that makes you invincible for a while. I did too many runs trying to lean so hard into elemental effects, elemental crits, elemental stacks, and I really tried to like break the game in that way. And like, I noticed, just like the jumping thing, each upgrade path or each upgrade that I took was so sort of insignificant.
Especially when it was the opposite, and it was like an Achilles heel.
Right.
It was like, hey, take this thing, but this is gonna suck. It's like I don't know if I want to do that. Like, and it creates trap builds basically, to where you can start off your build and thinking you're gonna build it one way, but if the RNG doesn't go your way, like you've basically trapped yourself in a corner. And no, it doesn't matter how good of an FPS player you are. You know, it's going to be significantly more difficult for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. And therefore, it creates, by the end of it, it's very rare for me to have had that run where I found the perfect weapon, the perfect build. Not even perfect, just like the right weapon and right build, where I can play in a way where I want to play. Most of my runs ended up with me, because like you, like I ended up playing this game a lot, like single player, like on the PC. And when I get to one of the later stages each time, I just find myself playing this game like a cowardly Call of Duty sniper, where I'm like in the back behind a wall, like behind a pillar, just peek headshotting, and until all the enemies except one is gone, and then I could go out there and jump on their head for a bit of fun. Like none of the upgrades or guns are wacky enough, for lack of a better word. I mean, it has this very Borderland-like aesthetic at some point. And the one thing that Borderland does or did very well was give you just these crazy kind of weaponry you can pick up. Whereas my issue with this game is it plays with that, but it doesn't deliver. Like, it doesn't want to go full hog for some reason.
Well, I want to preface this by saying, like, I want to talk about the good about this game for a little bit, and I'll circle back to that. And what you said is, you know, you're playing the sort of, you know, cowardly way of it. Like, this game, it feels good. The weapons that are more traditional weapons, like the sniper rifles and just kind of the more like bolt action rifles, the submachine guns, like there's different stuff. And there's like there's like energy launchers, and then there's like variations of rocket launchers, like all the regular stuff, like the carbines. I really enjoy playing that this game because it's very quick, it's very tight, and like, especially, and even on a controller, like I'll say the tuning on the controller is actually quite good, but having a mouse and keyboard with a sniper rifle, and if you get that sniper rifle that has that like that quick reload, and like you are just popping people, like it feels really good. Like it feels like that Call of Duty, like when you just get like three headshots in a row and you just feel like a god, like it feels that good. It's fun to play. I don't want to undersell it, that like the actual playing of the game, the movement, the guns, like it all feels good. So everything that we're saying is like we're on the same page of like we don't dislike the game, but there's a lot of little stuff that takes all of those good things and sort of it puts a magnifying glass on them of like, man, I really wish this was just like a little bit better. Like, and like you said, of it's not wacky enough. Like there do exist, like there's different tiers of weapons. There's, I think there, it's a star rating if I remember correctly. And there is like a legendary tier, you know, like an orange tier. And I think in the entire time that we played this, I think I got that maybe twice.
Like, I saw it twice. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the times one time I got it, it was a weapon type I just don't really care for. Like I don't really care for those energy like wave guns, basically. It's almost like the jelly gun, the bio gun from Unreal Tournament. Whoever played this game really liked whoever made this game really liked Unreal Tournament. Like a lot. Like the sniper rifle is very Unreal Tournament-esque. The plasma cannon is basically in this game. The flat cannon, there's something pretty close to a flat cannon. And I'm a huge Unreal fan, so I say that as a positive. But yeah, like it feels like that. But like you have this orange tier of weapons, and it's like at some point when I've played as much as I can, like you even at the main base, you get the upgrades, whatever you want to call them. That's like, hey, this appears more. I was like, great, that's exactly what I want. And I still wasn't getting them. So like it came time. It's like, do I just need to like keep re-rolling this game until I get the weapon that I want? Like that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign when my head wants to be like, yo, what if we just keep re-rolling until we get what we want? But
that's what I did when I played by myself. I re-rolled a lot. Honestly,
did it make a difference? I never did.
Not a huge difference because I was looking for one weapon. Honestly, there's one weapon I really fell in love with. Everything else, I just didn't care too much about. And again, I'm not trying to paint a picture of a bad game from my perspective. It's more disappointment because I reached such a high level of fun there, and then by the end of it, I'm just like, man, like this is. It's just a bit under tested, underplayed, and it's too many of those factors that are working against it for me, because there's so many things I genuinely love about the game. Like I love the cryptic puzzles in the game, that would have kept me playing much longer. Just the idea of you have these doors, these secrets, these hidden things that you get to uncover as you play the game. Like that's always very cool, but getting there is a bit rough for me. I mean,
it's rough for sure.
I get pretty far in that skill tree, the main skill tree that carries over like any role like tends to do. And it's just like you kind of touched on where it's like, if you get this, if you buy this, these weapons will show up a bit more. If you get this, then you get more chance of this or more chance of that. And none of it was game changing. It just felt like such incremental upgrades that none of my runs felt super special. Like to compare it to, again, the H word, like a Hades or even a lesser one, like a monster run or
Monster Train.
Monster Train, yeah. Like, you get these... You tend to get something where it's like... You tend to get equipment or spells or whatever, and you're like, oh, this is going to be a special one. Like Vampire Survivors, you're like, oh, this is going to be a special run. Like, you feel that by minute 2, 3, 4, 5, whereas in this game, I just never felt like... I never got that special run feeling. It was all fine, good runs.
Well, and I think that comes down to the question of, I mean, maybe it's not a question, to my knowledge, and I'm sure they're out there, but from at least a perspective of I don't go looking for them, you don't see a lot of first person shooter roguelites, you know, right? Like, and I'm wondering if that's why. Like, are they just really hard to make? And because again, I don't want to undersell the fact that like this game feels good to play. Like the shooting and everything, like there's grinding in this game. Like there's a double jump. There's a, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff that you can find. And like you said, for me, the big thing is it does have that mystery factor. And that's kind of the biggest thing for me of like Vampire Survivors has that like yo, what's over here? Like, what? Right. This is kind of cool. Like, what's this about over here? And it does. It has a lot of that. There's a lot of things that you can find yourself falling into. And while I don't love what you fall into, the fact that it's there is a huge plus for me. Like, for instance, and it's not really spoilers, but, you know, I guess minor spoiler for the next 10 seconds is like you can basically transform the final boss encounter in terms of how difficult it is depending on what you find throughout the game. And that's a really unique perspective to take on this of like, you know, we did get to the final area. And I think, again, where this game went from like a 10 to an 8 for me is some of those rooms are just traps, like straight up traps.
Some of the room design is actually awful, like really terribly awful.
Yeah. And it really depends on, and it doesn't matter how good at the game you are. Like, we played a lot of this in co-op, and, you know, it came down to, like, I'm an arena shooter guy. I grew up with them, so I don't say I understand them, but the fact that I'm playing a game where there's no other human players and I literally just have to run in circles around this room, and as I'm doing my laps, I take a shot and you know, like, slowly whittle down some of these enemies for 3 to 5 minutes straight, that's not fun. Like, I learned very quickly that I needed to do that because that's just how this game is designed. But those rooms could be very, very frustrating. And it was strange because anytime we would go in one, like, anytime we thought we would, like, we were like, okay, we got this, we would usually fail. And then sometimes we'd go in with like a tenth of our health, like, well, this isn't going to work. And then we would just get through it fine. And it's just like, wait a minute, what the hell? Like, what is going on here? So again, there's just a lot of random stuff like that.
And again, you touch on something that, and I hate to make it sound like I'm beating up on this game because, like, I want people to understand, I'm coming from the perspective of, I genuinely wanted to enjoy this game a lot more than I did. I really did, because you touched on something else that just bugged the heck out of me, because that later stage you're talking about, how you can find these things and these items throughout your gameplay to hit the switch on the final boss or the final stages, so that's a bit easier. I think the first one that I got, maybe the only one actually, was this disable turrets and laser shields and stuff on the final thing. I'm thinking, like, that's cool. Okay, like, something a bit different. I'm in end game now, guys. I play that final run in that final mission area, and all it is like 1 7-second area where there were red lasers is going.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah,
that's it. Like there's. It's not like the big arena shooting area. There are no turrets now, or there are no special enemies now. Literally, just a few red lines aren't on your screen anymore for a few seconds, and that's when it hit me, where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to fall in love with this game. Like, it's just not going to give me the thing that I want. Like that again, hit the switch and like the game has changed type of thing. Like, it's just going to give me very small, safe, incremental changes here and there.
And it's like you said, I don't want to beat up on it, because I genuinely had a ton of fun with this game. And I mean, I think we put, I mean, I guess I can check real quick, but I'm going to guess that I put in at least 20 hours, you know, 20 to 25 hours of this game.
I might be 15 or so, 10 to 15 probably.
Yeah, and like that's a lot of time to put into a game that, you know, again, I really enjoyed it, but Hades is a game I put 150 hours in. And it really it's that little difference of just time of playtesting and making things fun that is the difference for me. I still think, so I guess to sort of wrap this up, for Game Pass or Pass, I still think you should play this game because it's genuinely a lot of fun. And I'm hoping that maybe we're wrong. You know, like, maybe there's something that we're missing. Maybe there's an aspect that, you know, like, for instance, like the, like you said, to finding the crystals and that whole like mini game inside the game. maybe there's something we're missing. You know, maybe there's just something that we don't understand about this game, and that's totally fine. I would love to be wrong about it, but I have a feeling that we're not. And it's like, yeah, like I had a great 20 to 25 hours for it. I never finished a run. Like I got to the last area two or three times and got to that last area is rough.
It's bananas. It's rough. And I never once got a weapon or build where I'm just like, oh, I'm killing. I got a shot here. Every time you land on that moon, on that rock or whatever, and the second you open up that door, it's like, ugh.
Right.
Like, and it doesn't matter what you did before that. Cause there are a few times before that, I'm like, I love the gun I got. I love the build that I have. But the second I looked at that door, I'm like, man, this is going to be me running in a circle again. Jesus.
Yep.
And I'm with you. I think it's a must play. It's really fun with the buddy, but it's also
like you have to be prepared to be frustrated, which is a horrible thing to say, but I like the game that much that I'm like, it's worth it. Like it really is. And it's, I really hope that they're not done with this game, but I think they probably are. I don't know. Yeah.
Unless it's a huge hit. Yeah. They're pretty much done with it. But I'm with you. Must play it. And I hope that, and I'll echo your statements. I hope that we're wrong and that someone else has picked this up and has figured out like the key to the game. Like how to make each run a vastly more successful run than ours has.
Yeah, and it's, I'm tempted now that we haven't, you know, I try to go through every game without knowing much about it. Sometimes that just doesn't happen, you know, you just, like a Gotham Knights, for instance. But I never went and really looked up stuff about how people feel about the game. But what I did notice is as we were just kind of talking here, I was scrolling through reviews on Steam, and they're quite good. But what I noticed is like every single person, not every single, majority of people, 25 to 30 hours, 35, 24, 1.4, 18, 22, 44, 22, 28, 29. Like, it's kind of right exactly where we are. You know, it's just like, I really like this game, played it for 30 hours. But then some people have 90 hours, like, you know, like this person does. But a lot of people have the same exact amount of hours that we do. And I think that, again,
yeah, it might be kind of telling.
Right. To get 25 hours out of a game, we're not mad. But again, like, there's a reason that I had 150 hours in Hades and 25 here. Like,
well, the difference is here also is we're speaking about a genre of game where you're supposed to put in 100 hours, if you will.
Right.
You know, like, you got me playing Slay the Spire and it's hard to put down.
Yeah, that game literally 25 hours can go away in a week, and you're just like, oh my god, like what happened?
Like, you know, like the whole point of the runner is to keep on running. Whereas I kind of hit a wall with this one, but again, I'm hoping everyone else doesn't because it's still a lot of fun here.
And I think I will play this game again every now and then. Just, you know, yeah, like, and I'm sure it'll suck me in for a good three or four runs, and I hope that they update it more because it's real close to being there. So what I will say is we also didn't play on hard. And I'm like, that sounds like a nightmare. like I don't need this game to be any more difficult. And I don't say that as like, oh, this game's too hard. Like, I don't think it would be fun.
Oh, unless it's like that, like Diablo 3, like vanilla, I want to say, where playing on that later difficulty gives you the better weaponry. It just doesn't, it wouldn't make any sense to play on hard until you unlock the entire skill tree in multiple characters. There's no purpose to play on hard.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And maybe that's the point is that's the other thing is like there is an easy mode, but like I generally think you should play on that mode because easy mode is still quite difficult and you're going to have more fun. And so like, I don't want to keep harping on, there's a lot of small things, but some of the telegraphing of like what to do on the bosses, not great. Like we ran into an instance to where we basically lost instantly and we didn't really know why. Like we were playing, all of a sudden it was just like literally the world exploded and we're like, what just happened? There was no indication of what we did wrong. And I was like, that's quite frustrating. Like,
it was equally fun and frustrating, because it was funny because it was like, what the hell happened?
Right.
But at the same time, it's the frustrating. It's like you said, the frustrating part is you not telling me what I did wrong. Like once I know that, then it's just funny.
Yeah. And there was one time I have no clue. I should look it up. I was at the base and I was like, I don't know. I was like three or four, whatever chapters, levels in, whatever you want to call it, deep. I talked to somebody and I wasn't really paying attention, because, you know, talking to people in this game isn't, it's not what you do. And the same thing happened. Like, the world just exploded. And I was like, what just happened? Like, I should have read that, but like, why is that even a thing? Like, if you're trying to be funny, dog, it wasn't funny. Like, that's what I'll say. Like, do that on the first area. Like, do it in the first, if you want to make a joke about like just the world ending because of whatever, don't do it to me four chapters deep where I'm 20 minutes into a run and like, I have no indication of what happened.
Yeah, right.
Like, again, that would be funny if it was the first area, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff like that. I'm just like, and yeah. Also, the console version, a little buggy. Like, nothing that's going to be game breaking. But I had like twice now to where no music would be playing. And
oh,
I had another
right.
time to where yeah, all my sound right. effects just disappeared. So, like, there's a lot of little stuff like that. But again, nothing game breaking. But music slaps too. Like, the music's quite good. So, but there you have it. RoboQuest, the first game of 2024 for Game Pass or Pass. Play it, have some fun. I recommend actually playing by yourself for a little bit, then hopping in with a buddy. Like, it's a lot more, I think it's more fun to get a grasp of what you need to do first. And then once both people are on the same page, like, if you have two people of different skill levels in this game, it could actually be pretty frustrating.
It's also more manageable too, because the way the AI works.
Right. Yeah. The aggro is kind of strange sometimes. So, but all right, that is going to do it for this episode. When it comes to the future of this podcast, I'm going to stall for time right now, because there is a game that we have played.
Slay the Spire. That's one.
Slay the Spire. Yeah. So we will be talking about that's probably a cheat. If you have not played Slay the Spire by now, but the thing is that we've played so much Slay the Spire that we have to talk about it at this point. But there's another game that came out at the very end of 2023.
Remnant 2.
And so I think out of
should we do some
respect,
Remnant 2 co-op, by the way? I think we both beat Remnant 2 individually.
Oh, I played it almost exclusively co-op, just not with you.
I did not. Okay, all right, correct. Because I didn't play any co-op. I think I went through it solo. So that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So Lil Sea Dog on 3/10 of 2020, you left us a 1-star review. Saying, y'all whack, you pass on Remnant, we don't see eye to eye, peace out, ! Sorry, so peace out! We did this for you. So tune into that episode. I should try to find Lil Sea Dog. I should do a deep dive.
No, I mean, we should definitely reach out, because he might be surprised. He might be.
I don't know. Maybe I liked it, maybe I didn't.
Watch him hate Remnant 2.
He's that guy that's like, no, Remnant 1 was way better. And it's like, oh, jeez, this guy. So, but Ringo McCartney, thank you for Ringo. The 5-star review. Yeah. So, all right, I'm sorry, were you about to say something? You got more games?
Oh, I got one more for you. You might want to check out and hate immediately. While the Iron's Hot.
Okay, so I have that one installed, but I just haven't gotten to it yet.
You check that one out, and then
I'm gonna make Basher play Against the Storm, because I've been checking that one out. And
you said that. All right, yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah,
I'm on it.
That's one I'd be very interested to talk about as well, because I have my thoughts and yeah. So, but all right, that's gonna do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with probably Remnant 2.
Good day, sirs.